Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
The Israeli.
Now, 51551 ray at rte.ie. And just a reminder about our quiz. We're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our whodunit quiz. Great prize, 2 nights stay for two people and dinner on one of the evenings in the River Lee in Cork, one of the Doyle Collection hotels. And the qualifying question on this Thursday afternoon: who do Leinster take on in the Champions Cup at the Aviva this Saturday? Moulin Rouge or La Rochelle? And the number is 0818 715925. That's 0818 715925. Now, sitting in front of me is Fiona Brennan. She's a clinical hypnotherapist, and her most recent book is Sleep Well: 8 Habits to Help You Fall Asleep, Stay Asleep and Wake Up Refreshed. Good afternoon, Fiona.
Good afternoon, Ray.
We all do it. Some of us do it well, some of us not so well. But it's a topic of conversation. And will you explain to me why everybody's talking about sleep over the last number of years?
I will indeed. Yeah. I would say that sleep is a serious issue that needs to be taken lightly.
Right. So cryptic.
Very cryptic. And guess who came up with that brilliant one? That was my good self. After I'll take full credit for that. Basically, yeah, what you want to be doing really is letting go. It's a little bit like what Neil Jordan was just saying there on his interview about non-acting. It's almost the same when we apply that principle to sleep.
Okay.
So you want to take the effort out of it. You want to take the anxiety out of it. And that is, to be honest, the overactive mind is probably the greatest block to a really good, solid night's sleep.
Okay.
It's known as somniphobia.
Somniphobia.
The actual term.
Okay, we'll get back to all the terms, but let's go back to the right to the start.
Yes,
here.
Yeah.
So what is sleep? What is the definition
sleep
of sleep?
Sleep is integral. It is the elixir of health. It is what helps our system to restore, to replenish. It keeps us alive. It gives us longevity. It's cell restoration. It's immune function. It's memory consolidation. The benefits of sleep are so bountiful and so plenty. And it's something that we all, as you say, we all do it.
Yes. It's part of living. It's essential to living.
It is essential to living. Yeah. It's like waking up to the power of sleep. And we are the only mammals, thank you, right, who deprive themselves, who actually choose to deprive ourselves, not just of sleep, but also of rest. And there's a very strong connection between sleep and rest.
Okay.
Our ability to rest is actually our ability to sleep.
So what you're saying is animals, when they feel tired, they sleep.
They really do.
Yes.
I have a dog called Rosie who sleeps an awful lot and would look at us and say,
yes,
what are you doing? You need to rest.
If we get afflicted by FOMO at midnight, we stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and this is the overactive brain. It is part of being human. It is the prefrontal cortex that kicks in and starts to go through the to-do list, starts to think about what's coming up next. It's that sense of the default mode network, which is when the brain goes into the future predominantly.
Okay. Just on the basics then, how many hours sleep do people need?
I would say you need to give yourself an 8-hour window of opportunity for sleep. Okay, now 7 would be the minimum and 9 is probably most likely the maximum that you want to be going
for. It's interesting you say a window.
Yes.
Because the preparation for sleep is important and you outline this in the book and we'll come back to that.
Yes.
What happens if we deprive ourselves of sleep?
We lose our minds quite literally. It's no joke at all in terms of the effect it has on us. I would say predominantly emotionally, our ability to regulate our emotions is so impaired. I think when someone is sleep deprived, it's like, and most people are, it's 62% of the world globally are actually not getting the sleep that they need. So it's a sense, I think, of looking at the world through a glass wall. You're there, but you're not really there. So it's like half asleep during the day and then half awake at night. And really what I'm so passionate about and really feel that I've hit on something quite unique is a solution to this. It's
okay.
Actually a tangible way to help people to not just get to sleep, but to stay asleep, because that's actually where a lot of people will run into problems.
So your book is over how many weeks?
It's an 8-week program.
Yes. And it's accompanied by audio, which
Absolutely.
Is available on your website.
Yes.
So you have to, and you at every chapter, because I've read the book, you say, just make sure you listen to this particular installment for 7 nights before you move on to the next chapter. So it's an investment. This is not just a quick fix.
No, it isn't. It absolutely isn't. It's a guide, if you like. And Dermot Whelan, who's a friend of mine, kindly wrote the foreword for me. And he actually brought the audios with him on a trek. He was doing a charity trek in January in Kilimanjaro. And he was listening to the audios and he said that he just felt so safe and able to switch off because he knew, even on the side of a rocky mountain, that he was going to be able to sleep well that night.
Okay.
And the audios are, they really, I think people, when they're struggling with sleep, they need someone to take their hand. They need guidance. You need something tangible to hold on to. And that's what this book has.
So as well as the audio, obviously people have to follow basic sleep hygiene.
Yes.
Just remind us what that is.
Okay, so the audios will be a subconscious level. And then the hygiene, as you say, is the lifestyle medicine, which I trained in. And essentially that is 8 lifestyle habits that, honestly, Ray, like, I practice these myself.
Right.
And I I cannot tell you the difference. Like, I thought I was a good sleeper until I started to research and write this book. I now know what a good sleeper is. And it's a very different thing.
Routine.
Routine is number one.
Is it number
habit.
One?
Well, it's not. They're all integral,
equally
right?
Important, yes.
Yes, I think so. It's like a jigsaw or
yes.
a wheel. We need to get them all together. But routine is really good, and that is waking up and going to bed at roughly, and I love the word roughly, at the same time each and every day,
okay.
365 days of the year.
I suppose if we thought about it, that's why jet lag hits us so much, because we're breaking that routine.
Yes, exactly.
We're
yeah.
trying to rejig it by 5 hours or wherever you're going. So that's important. This preparation for sleep. Talk to us about that.
The blissful hour. Yeah. Basically, it's about not mistaking bedtime for sleep time. OK, so there's a difference. So, for example, if you want to be asleep by 11 p.m., let's say you say 5 to 11, right, bed. You're not going to be asleep at 11 o'clock. You need to give yourself a 60 minute unwind session, essentially. When I say session, what I really mean is that you're starting to slow down.
Right.
You're starting to get off the screens. You're starting to maybe do some meditation if that's your thing, to read something not too jarring, maybe a warm shower. All of these things are signals. Like, think about it with children. When our children are young, we do this for them, right? We have the story, we have the bath, and they just...
And in the main, they're good sleepers.
They're good sleepers,
but
yes.
we lose that skill as adults.
And that's my whole point. That skill is there. It's innate, right? The thing that gets in the way, if you like, is our sort of sense of the overactive mind, the responsibilities of being an adult, all that comes with it. And what I really want to help people with is to return to that faith, that knowledge that
yeah.
you know that you can go
I'm
to
wondering
sleep.
Did our ancestors lie awake worrying about catching a bison or
exactly
whether the cave was too cold or whatever. Okay, so move your body, that's exercise.
Yes.
Yeah, but
yeah.
I think people know that. Reduce your alcohol and caffeine intake.
Yes.
Alcohol, despite what people may think, doesn't help you sleep.
No, it interferes with your REM. So that's why, the whole fear factor of people after a night out will feel more anxiety. It's because the REM, which is so integral for emotional regulation, has been interrupted. So that's one to avoid. And if you are going to drink, I would say the Apero is like that earlier drink is actually much, much better, because the longer you have between finishing alcohol and going to bed, the better. So in other words, you want as much of it out of your system as possible.
So we'll add restraint to that one as well, because, you have to have your drink and then not drink. This is an interesting one. It's about light, both in the morning and at night.
Light is integral. It's just so amazing the difference it makes. And essentially, to keep it really simple, get up and get out.
Right.
Especially now we're in the lighter side of the year. You want to literally just get up. Get outside into your garden. If you can go for a walk or a jog, whatever you can do, get out. If you have to just have...
What happens? What does that do to our brains
and
our bodies?
What that does is it's like a lever, right? It's like the circadian clock has been set and the melatonin will be released in 16 hours.
So I see.
You're essentially
producing
your own melatonin. Like, we are capable of all these things.
So it's a countdown to going to sleep.
It's a countdown. It's like in 16 hours.
Because people wouldn't associate with what they do first thing in the morning with going to bed that night.
Another great line is, a good night's sleep begins the moment you open your eyes.
There you go. You're full of it.
I am, right?
Full of the good lines.
I'm not full of myself. That's okay.
And then at night, I believe that you bring a torch if you're going to the loo.
I do.
Right,
I do.
Explain that.
Well, I'm a little bit fanatical about this in terms of even if I'm traveling, for example, and you know the big lights like we have now in studio, you want to be avoiding them the closer to bedtime. So I've been known to wear shades, not because I'm full of myself, but because I'm trying to get the light out, not to have that interrupting your sleep. And essentially, like, these are tweaks to our lives, right? They're not big things.
They make sense when you say them out loud.
Yes.
And then your diet, obviously, you can't be, we mentioned caffeine already, but dark chocolate or even eating too close to bedtime isn't going to be good because your digestive system is working, which will probably keep you awake.
Absolutely.
All makes sense, yeah. This one doesn't make sense to me. Take time to rest in the middle of the day.
Okay, this is really integral, and it's called an NSDR, a non-sleep deep rest. And this was coined by Dr. Andrew Huberman, he's fantastic. Yeah. And essentially, it's very close to hypnotherapy or yoga nidra, for example. And what you're doing is you're going into a very kind of light, dozy state. You're not going
in the middle of the day.
In the middle of the day.
Sounds like a luxury to me now that a lot of people wouldn't have.
I would say that it is a privilege, definitely. Yes. But what you can do, right, and I have this included in the book, is a 7-minute rest ritual. Okay, so even let's say you're here, Ray, and you've got a few minutes, like imagine that, and you put on 7 minutes. You can do it sitting up, you don't have to be lying down, but what it's doing is it's cleaning your brain, okay, and it's refreshing you. You're going to be so much more focused, you're going to be able to really your
memory. There's science behind this,
there's huge science behind this.
Laugh often and enjoy positive connections, that makes sense as well.
Okay,
now, the breathing, I've been doing this since we spoke to Padraig O'Moran. I've been doing the 7-11 one, in for 7, out for 11. You have a different breathing exercise, which is...
I have one called the 478.
478, right.
Yes, and that there's research behind that, that people who practice it regularly can go to sleep in 16 seconds. That if you have to, everything is about repetition and training. So essentially it's breathing in for 4, it's holding for 7, and it's exhaling slowly through your mouth, like you're blowing through a straw, for 8. Now, these techniques are really integral, right? But what I would say, honestly, from the bottom of my heart to anybody listening to this, what you really, really want is to apply the idea of replacing effort of going to sleep with the joy of rest. So when you're lying in bed, if you can just focus on the idea that I'm resting now, that there's nowhere else you need to be and there's nothing else you need to do, your whole system will start to go into that lovely parasympathetic system. And you will let go.
So it's to reframe sleep in your head.
It's reframing it. Take the pressure away.
And both of us are speaking now as if we're hypnotherapy tape.
Yes, exactly. It's what happens.
Right. Now, we didn't get to our listeners' questions, but I'll direct them towards the book. Sleep Well, 8 Habits to Help You Fall Asleep, Stay Asleep and Wake Up Refreshed. It won't suit everyone, Fiona, but it will suit some people.
It will. And just one final thing, if I could say, I'm holding a very special event, the King Coyle Sleep Well Experience, on May 19th in Blessington, and I'll be bringing the 8 habits to life.
Right. And just your website address there for people.
ThePositiveHabit.com, and the book is being launched today. So
Well, good luck with it, and thanks for coming in, Fiona
Thank
Brennan.
You,
Thank
Ray.
You very much.
Thank you.